Episode 491, July 20th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've got Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and now it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Hey, it's our 9-year anniversary
today,
and we're doing the show apart.
Yeah, I don't feel well, man, for real. I know I said I'll wait till you come on the air, but I would say if I was a gambling man and I had to bet whether or not I had the coronavirus, I would bet that I do.
Okay, let's walk us through why you feel that way.
Well, what I did was Katie just read to me the... Oh, God, Gramps is in here. He's going to freak out. Dad, I'm fine. I shouldn't have said that. I'm fine. Relax. My phone's going to be blowing up. No. Okay, so Friday, I just had like a little tickle in my throat, right? And I heard a cough is, you know, a dry cough, I think it is. Anyway, so I had that. Then that night, I sweat the bed. Like, literally, it was just, you could have wrung out the sheets. I'm not kidding. So that was the next night. Well, now, honestly, and then I had what I normally have at Kohl's. That happened to me for about a period of about, you know, 48 hours, okay? And for those people who are not regular listeners, you know, I shit myself at
Kohl's.
Hey,
I'm about to poop my pants.
That was it. So I had all those, but really,
I smell like shit.
What I have is fatigue, like extreme fatigue. Yep. So, like, I'm exhausted right now. Matter of fact, as soon as the show's over, I'll probably just go to bed. And when Katie was reading off the symptoms, I had most of them. I don't have any, I think, abdominal pains or chest pains. I don't have that. I really don't have a fever. But I have fatigue, and I've been sick now for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, for 4 days. That's a long time, just to feel generally, you know, blah. And in the list that she was reading, it said that it was generally described as run down, and that's what I keep saying. That's how I feel, run down. So, anyway.
Does this feel different than any other flu situation you've had?
So, I have to be careful, right, because first of all, it affects everybody differently, and I don't know that I have it. So, those are two things to consider, and I don't, you know, I don't want people to be sending me pictures of a bunch of people in ventilators in an emergency room. Clearly, I know that it can be very serious to people. I know that. But to me, this isn't anywhere near as bad as the flu. But again, I don't know that I have it. So that's another
thing. No, I'm not asking you if it's – I'm saying, is this – have you felt this way in the past when clearly it was just the flu?
No, the
or,
flu.
Or do you feel different, sick in a different way than you felt?
Yeah, I definitely feel sick in a different way. I feel more like a cold that just doesn't go away. But I've had the flu, and it's been much worse than this, not even close. Now, I'm not saying the flu's worse than the coronavirus, although it is worse to some, and maybe that's how it's affecting me. Do I smell
now,
like throw up?
Are you going to get tested, or what's the next step?
So I'm not, right? Obviously, what happens is that let's say they test me today and I have it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to send me home to do the same thing I'm doing right now, right?
So you are going to self-quarantine yourself until you feel better or till when?
No, I'm going to self-quarantine until August 1st, which is when I leave for vacation.
There you go.
So
from Friday, are you literally only going to just walk the dog? Is that it?
Yeah, though, that's what I did today. So from last Friday to not this coming Friday, the Friday after is 14 days, and then we leave the next day. So if I do have it and it doesn't get any more serious than it is now, then I will have been, you know, it'll be 14 days and I'll be fine.
All right. Well, yeah, that's clearly why I am not at your place. I hope you feel better, man. And hey, the good news is if you have it and then you get over it, you know, you don't have to worry about getting it.
Well, I'm 4 days in if I have it. So this is going to sound weird. I don't know how, I guess you can relate. If I have it and this is as bad as it gets, then I'm going to be glad I had it, right? Because then I don't have to worry about it anymore. But I also won't know.
Not necessarily true. They don't know for sure if you can get it again.
But I doubt you can get it right away, right?
No, but they don't know how long it takes.
Well, yeah, because you can get the flu multiple times. You can get the flu every year, right? But usually you don't get the... I've never heard of anybody getting the flu twice in the same year, right?
Yeah, it's unlikely.
So well, that's the plan.
Do you want to trace back when you think you might have gotten it? Because you can have it for, what, a week or something? 4, 5, 6 days without knowing you have it? Or feel anything?
Well, here's the thing. There's going to be... he's actually my Uncle Pat, but I think he's only a year older than me or 2 years older than me. He's Katie's uncle. So him and his family were over to the house. Now, I doubt they gave it to me. They feel fine, but but 2 days prior to that, Erica was over. Now, Erica doesn't feel well. By the way, for those listening, a good friend of mine, Erica, we talk about her a lot here on the show, and a good friend of ours. Anyway, so she's sick. So if I have it, she gave it to me.
Well, and she's, you know, Katie's age, right? So she's definitely
she's exact same age,
likely.
Right? They're 30.
Yeah, so that's in the age range. She should be fine. Well, I'm sure you'll keep us posted. So, Robbie, we've talked about who to fill in for Joe in August. Now, if Joe dies, do we want to talk about who the permanent fill-in is? Have that conversation.
I would prefer it be somebody named Joe, so we don't have to change logo or name or anything.
You know, we've talked about this before, that if I died, would the show go on? Or if either one of us died. I can promise you that if you died, the show would not go on. That's for a fact. It would not go on. But if you guys wanted to continue to do the show, yeah, I'd throw my hat in the ring. I mean, I would throw someone's hat in the ring. I'd be willing to discuss that.
Okay. Whenever someone fills in on any of these shows, any radio show, they don't change the name of the show because there's a fill-in. So I think we could just keep Rob and Joe show with person X permanently filling in for Joe.
May he rest in peace, right?
Yes. All right. Who do you want to throw? Who do you think? I mean, it's got to be somebody that the
I can't.
It's an inside hire, right?
But I can't think of anyone. So, for example, first of all, it couldn't be Eric Woodworth, who would be the most likely person, because he already has two podcasts that he does. There's no way he could do a third. He wouldn't be able to stay married. So that's the first thing. The next person, Tommy Cimbazzo, yes, he only has Laugh Finder, but, you know, he invests a lot of time in that. So the idea of him doing a second one, it doesn't seem likely. He might not want to do it. And Justin's not going to do it, right? Because obviously he's not going to be willing to be out on a school night when he's got to wake up at, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever. So it probably would have to be somebody that I'm not.
Hello?
There you go, Frank. Frank Push. What about Katie?
Hello?
You think Katie, as soon as she's able to dust herself off, she could do it?
I think Katie is the correct choice.
Oh, Gramps, hold on. Gramps said Gramps wants to know if his hat could be thrown in the ring.
Absolutely. I think for what we do, we'd have like a, you know, when like on Regis and Kelly, when they have like a, they did that thing where they try out new hosts after when Regis left, I believe. And then eventually they settled on someone.
Michael Strahan or something like that.
But we would do that. We'd have Gramps on 1 week. We'd have Katie. We'd have Mike Chamberlain. We'd have, you know, who knows?
Well,
we have Scott Apple.
I have to say, I think Katie is really, really good when she's on the show. But the best part is her crapping on Joe. And if Joe is gone, she's not going to probably do that anymore.
She can remember some of the horrible things I did and talk about them.
Right. No, but her almost instantly going on dates will be, in a way, crapping on Joe.
You're right. Hey, you're right. And even if it's not almost instantly, although who knows, but that would be an interesting. You're right. That's a would be a great angle, following her love life after my demise. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's just say that you die, like not in some horrific
way. Hey, Katie,
way.
Where are you?
Like how? What's the over under? Like where you think she will have sex again?
Oh God. I mean, she'll mourn my passing, right?
No, she's not going to do it the first month. That's obvious, right?
No, she's not going to do it the first month.
She's going to do it the first minute.
What? No, I'm telling you, I think it would be. I think we're talking. It's over 6 months, easy.
Okay, so the over under is 6 months.
That's right.
I'm not suggesting that she's not going to mourn. I'm just saying she's going to be mourning in a different kind of way.
I mean, you guys
we
want
all
me to
mourn,
ask her?
All mourn different.
You want me to get her in here?
Is she available?
Hold on 1 second.
I think that's the way she gets over it.
I think the 4 to 6 month range is the sweet spot.
I think so it depends on when it happens. Actually be
if
in
it's
another...
over, like if it happened now, I mean, pretty soon we're getting into the when what would be your birthday and the holidays, and that'll be a sad stretch. So it would be. Hold not until 2021.
I say that's how long it'd be till she actually considers being in a new relationship. But we're just talking about sex.
Okay, let me know.
Well, where does she come about this sex? Is it just, I mean, does somebody reach out to her? Hey, I'm there for you. Is some guy going to play on her?
Yeah.
Her vulnerability.
Sean Gabbert's right there to
now. Okay, hold on. I got to turn up her head.
To be her shoulder to cry on.
Can you hear?
Hey, Katie.
Hold on. I got to turn you on.
Now that Joe has COVID and is dying, we were just wondering if he were to die in some, you know, relatively non-tragic way, like how many months would it take for you think to have sex with someone new?
Can you hear her, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Sex with somebody else or?
Yes.
Well, you can separate it. Actually consider a new relationship is one thing. Sex is a whole separate thing, I think.
Okay. So he dies today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because of COVID?
That matters.
Yeah, well,
it does matter,
whatever.
Actually.
Yeah, it kind of matters, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know why that matters.
Because she's going to be quarantining for a couple weeks.
Well, oh, no, that's not why.
you think it's going to be within 2 weeks?
I was going to say, because, like, if it's something, like, completely and utterly, like, a tragic, devastating thing. It's going to take me a lot longer to get over rather than goes on a ventilator and I'm, you know what I mean? I have time to like process it.
Oh,
does
so
that make sense?
You're saying that.
Yes. Okay.
That still seems like it would be tragic. It would happen.
Of
over,
course it's tragic,
no,
but
I mean
if I
is,
know that it's a very good possibility that you may die in result of this and then over
you start
the next
mentally preparing
kind of, and then, you know, I can kind of have a little bit more closure, whereas I go to work one day and I find out you were a semi just destroyed you and you're dead.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So anyway, the answer is it's July. I'm probably not interested in anything like sexual with anybody for at least, I would say, almost a year.
Oh, that's good. I said 6 months. I appreciate the year.
Yeah, I would say almost a year. I would say probably, you know, by next summer, the beginning of next summer, I'm like, okay, I need to get myself back out there.
All right.
Also, because, you know, I'm also 30, right? So if the next person that I date, maybe I'm, you know, my biological clock is ticking.
Maybe she decides.
Maybe I'm like, oh, maybe I'll try something different this time around.
My step.
Yeah, you're gonna date younger next time. I'm pretty sure.
younger than me or younger than her?
I mean, I'll probably date somebody closer in line with my age next time if that happens. Yeah.
I just want to get an early look at you.
Are you gonna be like I like younger men? I'm now dating a 48-year-old.
I will say I would be open to like being set up, if that makes sense. Like I probably won't try to like pursue. I'd be like, all right, who can somebody just who knows me. Like the Rob and Joe show, I'd be like, all right, Rob, go on the Rob and Joe show and be like, who would be willing, with everything they know about Katie, who would be willing to date
okay,
her?
Okay, Katie, on that note, who out of our Die Laughing crew or just Rob and Joe show crew would you believe in their ability to set you up? You would trust their setup skills the most?
Yeah. I would trust, honestly, I wouldn't trust Robbie, although I love Robbie, but I wouldn't trust Robbie.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, why?
See, I think I'm the most responsible.
You know what? You're right. You are the most responsible in the sense that you wouldn't try to fuck me over. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you would. So I do agree with that. But I also know that, like, I don't know how many people that you know and are friends with that I would be interested in.
Black Phil.
Yeah, what about Black Phil? Is he married, Black Phil?
No, he's single.
Hey, what about that?
Perfect.
I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe. Okay, maybe Black Phil. If he's still single.
I met Black Phil, by the way.
And he's normal?
Yeah, he doesn't look like your type to
Okay.
me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, not because he's black. Let's just get that out there. It's not my type because he's black. That's not what we're saying. But Rob, I would trust Rob.
Thank you.
I would trust Eric. If Eric was really promised me he was being serious about it and not like, I have a guy for you and then I show up and it's Chris Restivo.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
I understand.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So, let's say you were willing to put up a match profile, okay?
Yes.
Who would you trust to go through those guys and tell you which ones to go on a date with?
Rob.
I think Rob's a good choice.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Eric and Tommy would just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Sean has probably the most time on his hands. Maybe
he
would.
Yeah, he could pour through them, right? Hey, real quick, Gramps just said in chat, I'm not very happy about discussing Joe dying.
Okay. Well, he's not dying. I have a question for Joe, though. Joe, who would you be most comfortable with choosing for me? And if you had to choose one person for me to date
there's only one single person and die laughing.
Okay. Right. True.
I'd choose the single person. But,
Sean.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean I want you to date Sean. He is rich. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
All right, I guess that's choice number one, I guess, right? He'll take care of the dog,
so
I guess.
So Sean it is?
I've never seen him be that nice to the dog, if I'm being honest.
Oh, I think he's nice to the dog.
He's fine. I mean, he doesn't obsess over the dog. If he'd obsessed over the dog, I'd be more comfortable.
I mean, I'd like for him to get a job, but...
That's true.
He day trades.
Does Chris Restivo.
Steve Miller,
Hello?
Steve Miller in chat said, did he get his IBS checked out? No, I didn't, because right before I went to the doctor to get a referral to a, what do you call the person that does a colonoscopy?
Gastroenterologist.
That's it, yeah, gastroenterologist. And then the pandemic happened, so I need
By the way, Joe doesn't have the coronavirus. He doesn't, right? Because don't freak me out. He doesn't have the coronavirus.
I'd say there's
How do we know?
Yeah, it's not zero, but I probably don't have it.
You don't have the main...
Joe said he thinks he does have
it. I think I could have it.
He doesn't have the main things that would require... Like there's no... You don't have a fever.
Yeah, but here's what's strange to me. First of all, and I can taste all my food. So there are... I've had almost all the symptoms, right? Except for I didn't have a fever, but I did sweat the bed really bad one night. And I wonder if that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a headache. I had... You know, diarrhea, we talked about that. Sorry about that. I have fatigue, but I just lost my train of thought. Is that another symptom?
What?
Losing your train of thought.
That's clearly one.
No, let's
let's flip it real quick. What if Katie were to die, Joe?
What? How long till I dated?
Yeah, how long does Katie think?
Joe is less, and I know that
no,
for a
not.
Fact.
No,
I know that
not.
For a fact.
No, it's not. It's not less. It's not. Listen, it would be difficult for me to recover from something like that. To start dating after two marriages, that wouldn't be good. And just losing my wife, no, that would.
You've always had somebody.
Should not be dying.
Yeah, I think I would treat it differently. You know, as you know, I've made some changes in my life. I don't think that I would I'm pretty sure that you're wrong.
Okay.
I think I would take a while.
I mean, I would appreciate like 6 months.
No, it definitely would be 6 months. 100% it would be 6 months.
Katie, would you be willing to take over in Joe's role on the Rob and Joe show if he were to pass?
I mean, is it still going to be called the Rob and Joe Show?
Yes, that was already decided.
All right, fine.
But you have to talk about all your dating.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do
after
that.
After a year.
No, I would definitely do that. I mean, look, and all like all jokes aside, I mean, I would be absolutely, like, I don't even know how I would be able to function.
Aw, I wouldn't be able to function either, baby.
Thanks.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers, and as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Saturday, September 5th at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
All right. See, you know, sometimes, you know, we write down beforehand what we're going to talk about, and then sometimes the best things are not on that list, which I think that was a perfect example of. So well, thank you, Katie, for joining the show tonight.
As soon as we went to commercial, Katie goes, you don't really have the coronavirus. This is the thing. I think there's as good a shot that I have it that I don't. I remember what I was going to say.
You've been telling me you don't.
Well, I knew the cause. We talked about that. I thought I knew the cause, right? But also, I mean, I've been sick. When you talked about the fatigue, it started making me think. And the other thing is, who gets a cold in when it's 98 degrees out?
Right.
Now, what happened was I worked out one night, and then I was sweating like crazy. And then I sat and the air conditioning blew on me for like an hour while I worked. And I thought that's what did it. I thought that's what gave me my cold. And that might still be the case. You know what I mean? But because I'm still just so run down.
A friend of ours is also sick.
Yeah, I talked about that, Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, anyone that gets sick with this going on is going to think that there's a good chance they have it.
You're 100% right.
Are you going to call Gramps immediately after the show? Because he's going to want to talk to you, Joe.
If I'm being honest, I don't feel like 100%, but I don't feel very sick. Like, if this is what the coronavirus is and you're listening and you're just terrified to get the coronavirus, it's not so bad.
Well,
it's really not. But I get it. If you have an underlying condition, of course I understand. You know, it's much more worrisome.
You're going to get filleted.
I'm experiencing it potentially. So, but we also could maybe not be. So we're going to self-quarantine.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll follow the rules and we'll social distance and we'll wear a mask and we'll just do all that and then we'll be fine.
It affects people differently. Some people have it and have no symptoms. But, hey, the median age of death is 80. So I think that you're both going to be fine, even if regardless if you have it or not. All right. Is Graham still – is he settling down in chat?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine, Dad. You don't need to stress. I actually feel – I feel pretty good. I'm just tired. That's all.
But Jeff is really giving you some serious
advice. Yes, I know. I know. I see it.
It's interesting we're talking about coronavirus because I actually went on Facebook this past week and made the horrible mistake of posting about the considerable evidence that children are not dying from COVID, and then that would not be a reason to not open school. But I worded it in a very admittedly douchey and aggressive way.
So it's on you. How did you word it?
Well, you know what? I will find it on my Twitter because I tweeted it too, but Twitter's a lot less.
So Gramps here, will you put the headphones back on? So Gramps,
I'll get it exactly right.
You know, while you're doing it, Gramps is yelling at me, get tested in all caps. What's the rationale? I need to know that. Why does he need me to get tested? I need to know his logic. What's going to change? By the way, if I went to Patient First right now and I got tested, they would send me home and I would be doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now. I want to know what the benefit of the test is. Now, I see Jeff. They can do contact tracing. What's that? What's contact tracing?
It means figuring out who you've been in contact with.
So I got it's a greater good thing is what he's saying.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
All right. This
You're
going to
get
I
filleted
said.
Too, Joe.
And I believe I said this on Tuesday of, yeah. Can someone please, by the way, this was just on the heels of me reading almost as many posts on Facebook about how if kids will die if they go back to school, then actual kids have died. That's not being hyperbolic. But I said, can someone please explain to me why you don't think it's safe for kids to go back to school? Do you not believe all the overwhelming data collected by the world saying that this isn't dangerous to children? So that's what I said. And then some people took that immediately. They took it to me saying that it's safe for schools to be open. They're talking about teachers. So you don't care if teachers die. And basically like 1,000 things happen at once. And then you're just bombarded with comments.
Right.
And then it's happened so fast and you're trying to answer this one and this one pops up. And then it's so fast. Like, I'm trying to debate this and I don't think I'm explaining myself right. And later I'm reading, I'm like, realize he doesn't even know what I was trying to say. And so it was just fucking chaos. And all I was saying was children aren't dying from this. Cause that and I only know that because they keep track of this. And that's what every freaking pediatrician says and every scientist. So it doesn't mean zero. There's no such thing as zero, but you would have thought some people that acted like I was saying, please, let's kill kids and teachers, and I don't care about anybody else. And it was just like we're, you know, 4 or 5 months into this. Like, we should know by now that it preys on old people, and that the younger you are, the less dangerous it is. I mean, how can we not know this by now? How can that be controversial?
You know, the problem is for me is that everything seems disingenuous. So I you know what? Katie will tell you, it's firing me up too much. So what I think I'm going to do is just distance myself from it because I know something fucking nefarious is going on, right? I know that we're being, listen, I just saw Robert Lang, who works for WBAL. He was posting numbers. Somebody asked him a question, and then somebody from the health department in Maryland indicated that, you know, Maryland does their testing the same way. So if I were to go in and get tested and I tested positive, that would be a case reported. And if I went back in, I tested positive again, that would be another case reported. So again, they're telling us flat out what they're doing. I don't necessarily believe that that's nefarious, but there's no uniformity. And so what do we know about the data that we have? So you can easily manipulate it to fit whatever your political agenda is. So I'm just not interested anymore. I'm going to do my best to try to back away from all this COVID talk because, you know, I'll tell you this, if you're on the right or you're on the left and you feel like it's not as bad as we think or it's worse than we think, you're both wrong. It's, you know, we don't know shit. Okay. Not based on the data that we have. We don't know anything. So because people, there's money involved. And as soon as there's money involved, then you're going to get people that are dishonest. And so, and that's what's happening now. They're tying a presidency to this shit. So anyway,
frustrating thing, and you're right. And I end up deleting the post because I worded it in a way that didn't help me get my point across. So that was my own fault. And I wasn't trying to suggest that you should put. I don't have kids, obviously, but I also am not affected by this on the other end. I'm not a teacher. I don't like the people this will hurt by not having schools open. I'm not one of those people. So.
You know, right.
I'm not someone that's going to quit my job because I have to take care of my kid. So,
no, you're
so
right.
I don't think that means I can't speak on this because I should.
Well, no, you can speak on it and you should be able to speak on anything that you feel is important. And obviously, if humanity is affected, it affects you. So the idea of somebody saying you don't have a kid, so you have no voice, it's a dumb thing to say. You're also an American taxpayer and you pay for that school. So you know, again, that's another shallow idea that you can't have sympathy for humanity because you don't have kids. But
I think people were upset that I couldn't, that I was acting like I couldn't comprehend that someone would be hesitant to send their kid into school, which is not true at all.
Well, Rob,
that you can still be afraid. You can still not trust your school to do the right, to do the correct things. Cause to have it safe, you can't just have it like it's been. They have to make some changes every school to make it safe. I get all that. But I was just – to me, it's much more dangerous to flat out lie and say that children are, that this is deadly when it isn't. Cause you're, it's like you're actively trying to screw over anyone who's like middle class or less that's going to be fucked by not being able to have their kid in school. So it just, it's crazy. It's like, I don't know where people get their news, but I'm watching MSNBC and they had the five pediatricians on. They all said they'd send their kid back to school. So if that's a right wing source, I don't know what world we're living in anymore. If MSNBC is too far right. So I don't know, you know, who can I cite? The CDC? I mean, I don't know where to go to have fine information that doesn't say what I'm saying.
Well, Rob, you saw me get in an argument. I don't like to engage in anything coronavirus related at all because I just feel like it's a lose-lose. But all I wanted, I just hate when people take it to such an extreme. Like, you're such a monster if you feel in any way, shape, or form outside of what someone is feeling. Like, how dare you want to send kids back? You're murdering children by sending them to school. I'm like, okay, but obviously, like, to your point, that's not happening, right? And by the way, what are we even talking about? It doesn't matter. They're not going back to school anyway. Like, Anne Arundel County is already doing virtual schooling and things like that. So I get it. It's a cover your ass thing. You know, they don't want what's happening to continue to happen. So they just sort of back down and
one litigation.
But I, to my point to this person who I got in an argument with, who was a complete idiot, by the way, was I completely respect everyone's choice in not feeling comfortable sending your child back to school. And if you feel the need to keep them home and homeschool them, there's so many resources that will be available to you at that time. There's so many people who want to homeschool their child. If that was the choice that was going to be made, where kids are going back to school, they were preparing for that. And there's a lot of resources to help parents be able to homeschool their child. But there's obviously a lot of people who won't be able to do something like that. I just don't feel like there's any sympathy whatsoever for somebody who disagrees with that perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like the obvious ideal choice would be a way where you can, we have both. We have an online version and an in person. I don't know if that's feasible. I get that that's complicated, a lot of moving parts.
Right.
And if that's not possible, I get that. But that seems like that should be the ideal way that we.
But how is it not possible, I guess, is my thought.
They've had all summer to figure it out, you would think.
Yeah, you know, and look, I get March. Some teachers are saying they don't feel comfortable. Like, it's not about the children. It's about the teachers. Like, okay. And I know I would get a ton of flack for this, but I'm sure there's a lot of teachers who are loving the fact that they get to stay home and be in the comfort of their own home. And whether they're worried or they just like that they're getting the same paycheck and they can stay home and allow for the parents to deal with the shittiest part of being a teacher. But I also know that there's actual legitimacy to it. Maybe there's teachers out there who really are fearful of it and they don't feel comfortable. And I also respect that. So all I'm saying is it's not black and white.
No,
it's not. And it's not going to be. And everyone should be entitled to feel however they want to feel and not be monsters about it. I totally get it. You don't want to send your kids back to school because you're not comfortable. Homeschool them, I get it. But I also hope that you're consistent and that your child is not doing anything at all that would be a risk to them in any way, shape, or form, if that is the case.
So,
well, that same guy that you got in that back and forth with,
yes.
You know, I saw on his Facebook page, he posted this thing from the CDC director about wearing masks. I'm like, the CDC director, his own quote was, "Nothing would make me sadder than for schools to use these guidelines to not reopen."
But that's my point, is it's the consistency is what just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, if you're really going to that extreme, I would hope that you're that extreme about everything that you're doing moving forward. That's all.
So I end up deleting it because it is unhealthy. And like,
I know,
and, you know, I feel like it's just, we just get so angry and I'm like, what, can't we all be on the same side? Like this, the one thing that MSNBC posted in NBC News on their Facebook page, that actual report, there's like 500 angry things to that report. the pediatricians say they would send their kid back to school. Why would that make you angry? It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Like, if your kid gets sick.
But you're angry. Yeah. Imagine being angry if five meteorologists said that you wouldn't have rain on your wedding. I mean, it doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah. Well, if you took your child into a pediatrician and they come back and say your kid has an ear infection, are you angry at the pediatrician for saying that your kid has an ear infection? Like, it doesn't make sense.
The thing that frustrates me the most is that it shows, and maybe I'm part of this too, but it shows that your desire to be right supersedes anything, right? No matter, as soon as you make a point of view, if things start happening and they contradict what was your belief set, then you want them to be wrong. But in this case, some people, that affects the health of the nation, if that makes any sense. So I see that, and the other thing that there's two more things. The first thing is that if you want to find something to support your belief, it's easy to go find. You follow what I'm saying? You can just go find it, whatever it is. And that's frustrating. So that here's what I know. We don't know shit because there's too many people out there with nefarious intentions. That's the truth. So because of that, I'm literally going to distance myself from this and wait for the world to open back up. And I'm just going to do whatever they tell me to do. And as soon as I can start going back to the movies and I can start doing murder mysteries again, and I can start doing these things, start going to 98 Rock, into the studio, start doing some of the things that I love to do, then I'm just going to wait until those things open up. That's what I'm going to do. And I mean, I've basically given up. That's what I've done. You know, when I did that today, I give up. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. I'm done being frustrated about it.
I'm feeling that same vibe. But to your point about admitting you're wrong, this isn't to me, a real opinion is something that you could if I have an opinion on the murder mystery, or I have an opinion on how my football team or baseball team is going to do, or if I have an opinion on if you should date this person, that's based on I can speak on that with some, you know, knowledge. So if I'm wrong on that, then that is that I could see someone not wanting to be wrong on, because I'm that using knowledge and experience that I've gained to come up with an opinion. This other stuff, I don't know what the fuck. I'm only reading what the experts are saying. So
right.
It's their opinion that I'm repeating. So well, I don't, it's not me being right or wrong. I can't form this opinion. I'm not an expert on this. It's like I said to you earlier, Joe, why do you think your 19-year-old son won't have a heart attack? Are you an oncologist? No, because you've been told that they're not in danger to that. So that's why you believe it. It's not these are opinions that people want to hold on to that you're only getting from listening to the experts. And the experts say this. Why would I not believe them?
Okay, hear me out. This is a sample size of one, but this is an example of something that you've seen a million times. The Governor Mike Parson, what's he, the governor of Missouri? It's from the St. Louis Dispatch, so I'm just assuming. But anyway, he says, these kids have got to get back to school, and if they do get COVID-19, which they will, and they will when they go to school, they're not going to the hospitals, they're going to go home, and they're going to get over it. That's what he says, okay? Somebody that I follow retweets that and says, does anyone understand basic science? Anyone? Like, you see what I'm saying? So I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that this information is available to us and it's good news. Why don't we believe it? Well, you tell me. This person actually has two children. What? Why?
I don't know.
So that's what I'm saying.
I don't get it.
And by the way, that person, and that's one person, but I know them to be a person with a kind heart. So what does that tell you? We're being sold something. That's the problem. And maybe I've been sold something that I feel this way. All I know is that it's horseshit. Whatever I know, I can't trust. So again, I'm just going to wait for it to be over, because it's not even, people are like, science, it's not science anymore. It's so politicized, there's no fucking way in hell that we're ever going to get any truth, because it's something else. And if people don't believe that, that's fine. But I firmly believe it's something other than this virus that's driving the direction of what we're doing with our economy and with our schools and with our government.
Well, hot take. Well, a lot of people who feel a very specific way about what's going on with the coronavirus also feel a very strong way about politics. And it's pretty aligned. Do you agree?
No, 100%. They do.
Yeah. I mean, online it is. I think, like, I had a lot of people in that conversation that were, you know, they took zero offense to it and agreed that I would say we're across party lines. But look, I feel Todd Moore said this today, and it's something I hadn't thought about, and we all know Todd's a Trump guy, And I'm not, and what you were just saying, Joe, I tend to not believe that there's some bigger thing at play. But he did make a good point that, like, you know, a cure of a vaccine is a, what's that worth? $1 billion? So in order for that work to be worth something, everyone needs to still be terrified of this virus. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I guess. But there are people, excuse me, competing for that, you know, what's it called, patent or whatever, or FDA
right.
approval.
Oh,
or
yeah. I mean, everybody wants it, right?
Yeah, that's going to be the golden goose, right? By the way, when it comes out, I'm not going to get that, are you? Fuck no. I'm not going to be the first person to get the fucking COVID vaccine. I'm going to refuse it unless it's mandated.
I don't
know. I'd like to know what the numbers say about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know enough about anything going on.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Most of what I hear is social media, and that's a bullshit way to live. So I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I just know when things don't make sense. Like when somebody, and I've seen this said several times, like, well, kids, they're not dying, but they haven't gotten the disease in a classroom setting yet. I've literally seen that.
What the hell does that
mean? They're like reading, learning how to read, and you get it, you could die, but if you get it while playing soccer at home, you don't. It doesn't make any sense. That's not science, right?
Well, yeah, again, no, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, when people will be like, that guy's on your side. You know, there'll be a guy over there with a fucking, you know, Confederate flag and a hood on, and they'll be like, that guy voted for the same guy you'd. Okay, I gotcha. They're idiots on both sides, okay? So, yes, people say dumb shit, but I don't necessarily, you know, say, all right, well, that's how those people that think that way think. But again, my issue is not necessarily that people are right or wrong. It's that how the fuck would I know? We're not getting the real story.
But I do think everyone should wear a freaking mask.
Yeah, I do too.
Why not?
I do too.
It doesn't feel too invasive. By the way, there are people that feel very, very strongly about it. And if you're talking about liberty and you make an argument to me, I wouldn't fight you too much. But I'm deciding to make sure that I wear a mask. It's not a problem at all. It's not.
I get the liberty thing. I get it. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what I have to wear.
Right.
But I think that if the store is saying, hey, we require masks in our store, well, yeah, wear a freaking mask.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
You know what I mean? Don't throw a fit at the store because they're you believe that you have some right to not wear a mask in their store. If they're requiring a mask in their store, put a mask on or don't go in the store.
Yeah, I have no issue with that either.
I agree. It's a weird hill to die on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, just...
But I also see people that will yell about a mask, but about people not wearing masks, but they have no problem with people not social distancing.
Right.
Like, the hypocrisy is strong in this one. Yeah, no doubt.
Can't pick and choose your science, you know. All right. Robbie hated that break, but let's take a break and come back and try to be funny.
It's too topical.
The first two breaks were about COVID.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They're good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So I actually got a last-minute gig on Sunday, this past Sunday. My buddy Pete Bergen, comic, he called me up and said, hey, I had got offered this gig, And it's for something called a fundraiser for One Fair Wage. It's a basically a bill, an act, whatever, to give bartenders, servers, $15 minimum wage plus tips. And that'll be gradually eased in over a 10-year period. Now, Pete is, by his own admission, a liberal left-leaning guy. But he has been a bartender for some, 20 years or so, and has had been vocal about being against this, which would be considered a left idea, supposedly, from what he was telling
sure.
me. Because he believes, as someone who has experience, you shouldn't just come in and make the same amount as him on day one. So he said, look, I'm not against taking money for something I don't believe in, but I've been on record of being against it, so I feel like it's a bad look. He said, would you be interested? I was like, yeah, I'd seen you post about that on Facebook, and I don't really know much about it, but I just agreed with you because I figured you knew what you were talking about because you're in the industry, and I know you to be a pretty smart, level-headed guy. And but if you're offering me this gig, I'll just take it because I don't, clearly this is not something I'm passionate about because I
right.
don't, this is the, So he goes, all right, let me give you the woman's number. So she texts me and I call her and she's quite the character. I like her. She had big personality. It's funny on the phone. She talks really loud, but then at the gig, whenever she's talking to the mic, you could never hear. It was a weird thing that I couldn't understand, but she starts talking, explaining the thing to me. And I'm like, look, I'm saying, yes, you can say whatever. It's not the Klan. It's not pedophilia. I'll do whatever. But then she starts talking about Trump and stuff. And I'm like, why are we talking about politics? Like, I go, my act isn't politics. She goes, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, who talks about politics? I've been to a million comedy
shows.
Seriously. Not really a main topic ever. So I just, said typical relationship stuff, yada, 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 send her a clip. She goes, all right, we'll do like 30 to 45. I'm like, that's probably going to be more than you want, but we'll figure that when we get there. So, it's outside. There's a go-go band on before me.
nice.
It's on Facebook Live. But they also interview this woman, this ward representative who spoke about it quite eloquently. She's probably going to be mayor one day. I wish I'd remember her name. But there's like, 15 people scattered about. As hot as it was in this little area where it was shaded, so it wasn't too bad. So she's like, how much time do you want? She goes, can you do like 30 to 45? I'm like, I think that's a little long for what we're dealing with here. She goes, what about, 25 to 30? I'm like, I think 20 to 30 is the sweet spot. Really, it's 15, but she
right.
also wants me to read this thing about the program, so that's going to take up 3 to 4 minutes.
Right, and you can read slowly. Make that 5 minutes
long.
It's
$200. It's a gig. So it ended up, it was okay. But there was this guy, I don't know what you'd call it, the front row, but this guy that I kept having a back and forth with. And luckily it was a polite back and forth. Cause as I got done, I walked over to him and it was Jim Loquet who took over for Tony friggin' Perkins
yeah.
as the Fox 5 newscaster.
Yeah, so, I saw him.
I've been on his TV show. I was like, and he's the one that, I don't know if you saw me tweet or Facebook,
yeah, I did
about
see
it. He took
that
picture while I was on stage. I was like, oh, Jim, I know this guy. So I'm glad that we had a nice back and forth. And so I got to talk to him, and I'm going to go on do Zoom on his TV show. But it ended up being like, I just felt a lot better about just things in general, just having just done a gig and going outside and hearing live music and talking to people and just doing something different from the normal and making a new re-engaging with a good contact. So all in all, a good event. One Fair Wage. Look it up.
Yeah, but it was a cause that you don't support. Is that correct?
No, it's a cause that I wouldn't even say that because I do feel like restaurant workers, you should make some more than they do. And I feel like, they had all these studies that you pay them more, you'll get a better service and all that. Clearly, you'll end up paying more as a customer. So
right.
I have no idea if I support it or not. But
yeah, I don't know either. It's easy to say, well, why wouldn't you want more people to make more money? But obviously, it's a complex
right.
issue. So I don't like the idea that, Pete should, be comfortable. It actually gives you credibility to not just be a party line, Tell him to go out there and show his face. Oh, I see. He didn't want to do it because he didn't believe in it. Okay, now I got it. Now it's
No, he was against it.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I got it. Okay, understood.
And
got
he's
it.
Gone on record as being against
good,
it.
Good, he should so. Be. That's the, if not,
yeah.
If not, you're not there. Does that make sense? I know what you think. If you if I can't get something from the other side out of you right. every once in a while, it's hard for me to, the sincerity of your beliefs are difficult for me to grasp. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
if
no,
you're just
I respect
all left
it,
or all right, yeah, you got to have.
And he sent me a gig, so.
Like, I'm for the legalization of all drugs, including crack, heroin, whatever you want. I'm for the legalization of it.
There you go.
Can we do a comedy show about that?
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Nothing. No, the news we broke last week, the Dr. Gill gig is actually this Thursday in Bethesda. It's funny. There's finally a sporting event to watch on TV, Nats Yankees opener. And I have a gig of all the times to have a gig. But Java Nation, this Thursday, July 23rd, 8 p.m., Dr. Gill, the feature, a guy I've met, is very funny. This, have you ever seen this, Joe? The last name of the headliner, which is me, is the first name of the feature.
Go ahead. Give me the names.
It's literally Maher, Mata. But his last name.
That's what I'm saying.
His
so,
first name is my last name. It's spelled exactly the same.
So it's Rob Mayer and Mayer Hata.
Maher
whatever,
Mata.
But it's,
he says it different.
It's spelled different. I got you. Now, are you the headliner or the feature?
Spelled the same, pronounced differently. M-A-H-E-R, spelled exactly the same, pronounced differently.
Are you going to make fun of his name? People like that.
Well, I mean, no. I think he probably does that in his act, so I don't think I'll have to do that. But come out to Bethesda and see Dr. Gill and two M-A-H-E-Rs this Wednesday and Thursday, excuse me, and maybe watch the Nationals game at the same time.
You think there's anybody that's just going to go watch Dr. Gill and be like, that's all I really came here to see, and then leave?
I would hope so.
Yeah, if Joe does die, we should consider doing the Mayer and Mahar show.
I like it. I like it. I think.
Well, let's find out if he's funny first.
Well, his dry bar special, I watched it. It's very funny. Does a great job. Mine, actually, it's looking like we're editing some things now that hopefully I'll have an announcement on that in the next week or so when's the official date, hopefully the next 2 weeks or so. But I'll keep you posted.
I know you asked about why they didn't end on your closer, correct? And is that changing?
Well, the woman was on vacation last week, which I knew in her previous email. So, but today, Monday, the first day that she could respond to that, she did. She said, thank you. I will forward your notes to our head editor and submit your title to our designer. So
you have a title to your special? What is it?
I am.
You don't want to say?
Well, I walked out and I just ad-libbed Utah. If you can make it here, you can make it here. And that got a laugh. So I have asked them to title it, If You Can Make It Here, ...
Got it. That's funny.
Which is also a title that I would never use for anything I would do on my own. So,
congratulations on 9 years, guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, congratulations, Robbie. How many times in the 9 years did you consider quitting? Let's talk about that. Yeah. We'll go around the room.
I wonder who's the most.
Okay, let's get let's each seriously think of our answer. Quitting, either because of stress from working together, or just being done with it. Without any real reason other than just being tired of doing it. How many times did it cross your mind over this 9 years? I have an answer for
you. Oh, my God. Cross my mind? You shouldn't say that.
Well, no, like seriously, like not cross your mind. Like you.
Like I said, hey, I don't want to do this anymore.
Thought about.
Right. Be honest with you, since the murder mystery, I know the value that this podcast has to the murder mystery, and the murder mystery has been an important source of revenue for me. So I haven't considered it recently.
Okay.
There was a little stretch there where I considered it a lot when Robbie and I were nonstop we'd fight every week, and it would be real fights. And then I have to try to be funny afterwards. Those shows, I thought about it a lot. I'd say I probably thought about it seriously 5 times.
Okay, I would say I'm probably 3 times. But one of those was like, you know what? I think it's when I had a lot of comedy gigs and the murder mystery. And I was like, I think I might have even convinced myself that maybe if I become famous, I want less for them to come back and listen to.
So it was you're not worried about that anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about that anymore. I'm at peace with that.
All right, Robbie, what's the number?
What's 52 times 9? Every week, I think about it.
You think about quitting every week?
Pretty much.
I was going to say like 12.
I would have thought Robbie was more in my neighborhood, but Robbie is saying that he thinks he's thought about it almost 500 times. Is that correct, Robbie? 500
yeah,
times?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But there's but think about it is different. I tell you, I think about it, but how many times have you seriously considered it? It's not 500. Because one time it would
it's
stick.
Over 100.
So you've seriously considered quitting over 100 times, and you've never quit. That's not seriously considering it. Or well, one time you would, 100 times?
Well, yes, I do. And then I always can't figure out a reasonable way to extract myself. At times there were a possibility that I had a way, but now I don't even have a way to do it. And you're right. I think about how this is incestuous the way it feeds the murder mystery and vice versa. So, you know, they're sources of income now, both of them.
Also,
so you're saying if there was a way to get for you to get out of it, but the show could still continue.
Yeah, if I
relatively could, seamlessly, then you would have been long gone.
I would still, if I could find a way to be less involved on a weekly basis, I didn't have to edit the show every week, and I could still continue to be somehow involved and still benefit from it without having to do all the day-to-day.
Yeah, but you, there was a time when Marcus was helping out, and it would make you nuts when he edited the show. You hated it.
Well, yeah, there were times when I got frustrated because he didn't treat it the way I treated it, which I know is extreme the way I do it, but I'm a little bit nuts about it. I'm a little bit anal. I'm a lot anal.
Well, Robbie, that was great because I believe you're being honest, but it was also the funniest answer you could give.
Yes. It's not as funny as Billy Ocean being your dream musical guest on Saturday Night Live, but still.
And Robbie chat. Also had a great zinger earlier when he talked about, what was it about, the reason why Katie would wait because of the quarantine or something for sex.
Yeah. It was COVID. Yeah, it was 14 days, yeah. She wouldn't want to make sure she infect anybody else. Hey, Benchwarmer asked in chat, can we train Restivo to upload the show?
If it was just a matter of uploading it, yes, a monkey could do it. Include Restivo in that category. But it's not just that.
You
I
would
care
include Restivo? You would let Restivo upload the show?
Upload it, sure. I care about the way it's presented and it sounding the best that it possibly can.
Well, I will say this. It's very important to a family member of ours that this show continues. I think it's probably what he looks forward to most during the week, Gramps, is this show. So you got to think about that when you think about
that's
quitting.
That's definitely one of the reasons I haven't quit.
And the other thing is, Robbie, you know, we talk every week because of this show.
I get that,
too. That stuff's important, right? You're my brother, so, you know, you can't just go quitting, all right?
Well, you see that I haven't, so.
But you should also, maybe, and I know maybe this is impossible, listen, if there's a couple bells and hiccups in the show, who gives a shit, all right?
Sometimes I can let it go. Most times I can't let it go.
All right. Well, that's
but
probably
Robbie,
the real
this
issue.
This is a relationship now with our listeners. It's like, you know, it's like a marriage. You don't leave someone if they gain 2 pounds 1 year. So
speak
these
for
people
yourself.
Are with us. So if there's a little hiccup here and there, we're doing it on Skype tonight. Yeah, they're not going to think it's pristine, but they're not really going to care.
I got to tell my dad right now, I was just joking about having COVID. I got to tell him that so I don't have...
Do you think Gramps was more upset about you dying because you were going to die or the show would be over?
Nah, he's much more upset about me dying in general, not the show, but here I go. Dad.
No, I'm saying that would he be sad? Is 90% he's sad when you die because you're dead and you're his son? And then there's 10% he's sad because there's no more Robin Joe.
Oh, no, that's in there. It's on a zero, that's for sure. It might be 10. Hey, Dad, I'm lying about having COVID.
Has he texted you during the show?
No. Okay, I just got to finish it.
COVID. Your phone's going to blow up as soon as
I'm lying about having COVID. Send. Okay. All right, we're good, Dad.
All right. We'll see you next week. Or will we? That's a cliffhanger. Sorry, Joe. All right. Later, guys.
Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.